Support for the Front Row on FM 89.1 comes from the Community Foundation of West Texas and from Citibank. Citibank's wealth management team of advisors, private bankers, and trust officers help customers create personalized strategies to help connect with long-term goals. More information on Citibank Wealth Management is available at 806-687-2955. And from Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Vast opportunities abound in art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by vastly talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts, vastly different. Handel's Messiah is being performed this weekend here in the Hub City. We'll have all the details about the performance and an interview with the conductors on today's show. I hope you can stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we're in the Texas Tech University School of Music in the office of Dr. John Hollins, who is the conductor and artistic director of the Lubbock Chorale. And joining us is David Cho, who is the maestro and conductor of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra. Welcome to you both. Thank you for taking your time during an incredibly hectic and busy time to visit with us here on The Front Row. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Dr. Hollins, it's time for Messiah. It's that time of year, and it will be performed here in Lubbock with the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra and the Lubbock Chorale and soloists on Saturday night at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center Theater. And Dr. Hollins, this is something that happens every year at Christmas. Here in the Lubbock community, practically every year throughout history, you could find a Messiah somewhere by some organization.
Yes.
And you can extrapolate that to every city of any size, not only across America, but literally around the world. What are some of the things about Messiah that make it this perennial favorite?
Well, it's almost difficult to verbalize, and yet everyone understands exactly why, or what it means, and why it is as you described, which is just truly overwhelming, mind-boggling, isn't it, and profound, and our community, or for a work to have that kind of a place in the hearts and in the life of the community, it's a rare thing. It's almost as American as apple pie, dare I say that. And I say that not with irreverence, but rather the opposite, that it speaks so highly in a language that transcends so many barriers and in society. It is truly universal, and it is truly timeless. And it's familiar and yet profound, you know. So it's simple and it's complex. For all those reasons and many, many more, it's hard to put into words, but it is so near and dear, and it is a part of the season, a unique tradition to a Christmas in our community.
Right. Yeah. I love part of what you said. It's familiar, yet in a way it's new every time you do it.
Every time. Right. Yeah. There's always something new, profound. It's such a tapestry, and you and I have talked about this when we've done our sing-along for Mass, I think a year ago. Handel is almost presented with the proposition, create musically your image of the Messiah. What is the Messiah to you? And here are the possibilities, biblical sources and the Book of Common Prayer. So have at it. And so what you get is this fascinating tapestry, unique among all the oratorio literature. So it just stands out. For instance, little to no recitative in this. This is a dialogue between the soloists and the chorus with the orchestra facilitating that dialogue and just bringing it to life. So that is a part of its magic, I think, too. But there is always something new in the piece.
Maestro David Cho, tell us about your experience with Messiah.
Well, John said it so eloquently, and I completely agree with him. And it's such a magical piece that every time you look at it, you find something new. What makes it a masterpiece? Again, every time we look at it, it's different. And I told John that a few weeks ago, I listened to the recording of the Messiah we did together 6 years ago, and I was beating myself, why did I do that? You know, no, I mean, there are some, I mean, you know, we have a completely different view of it every time we look at it. And it's a true genius, in spite of the fact that it was written within the span of, what, 18 days? Yeah, it's a miracle. And it's a great storytelling, as John said it, have at it. You know, there are so many possibilities, more than one way of doing the Hallelujah chorus. Many, many things.
Right. You have a lot of options conducting this. What have you decided to do with the orchestra? What size of orchestra will you use for this concert?
We have 12 violins, four violas, two cellos, and two basses. And I plan on following the edition we have, you know, when Watkin Shaw says, or he wrote, you know, on behalf of Handel, you know, senza ripieni. No, we'll have the concertino, who are the front stands of the strings, play. Mm-hmm. And when it says tutti, it'll be tutti strings.
Be everybody.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Good. And you have four soloists. Tell us about them.
We have Amy Owens, who is the soprano, and she'll be making her debut with the Lubbock Symphony. We have Quinn Patrick, a familiar name among the Texas Tech community. She was a faculty member here. I believe also Eric.
Yes, he was.
Yes, he's a tenor. And
that's Eric Rieger.
Eric Rieger. Yes. He's performed with us 6 years ago, actually. And everybody knows Gerald Dolter, who will be the, right, the basso or baritone.
Right. Yeah. And he will certainly bring a dramatic flair to
the, oh, to talk the, about drama.
I to mean, the music, yes. Absolutely. And speaking of which, with the soloists and the choir, how much of Messiah will you do?
Ah. Well, we're going to leave out most of the part two and some of part three. Mm-hmm. Basically, Easter part we're leaving out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it is, at the same time, wonderful that we have all of almost all of part one, just essentially all of part one.
The Christmas portion.
The Christmas portion, yeah, this time of year. And then parts of part two and part three. So one will have a sense of the whole work, and that's always a cool thing. Time doesn't afford us, you know, the opportunity to do the entire piece all the time. And very often this time of year, it's only part one. And mm-hmm. as it worked out so beautifully, and we're so thankful, we're able to have 12 choruses, for instance, representing all three parts. And surely the audience will have a sense of the work as a whole.
Right.
I mean, you've got to get to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Revelation, you know, worthy is the Lamb. And on that note, I would add that it's such a joy to sing. I think we've all taken a whack at these solos. I mean, you know, even in the privacy of our own home. But as a choral singer, there's a great and deep sense of joy
In
bringing this music to life.
And, you know, it's something that I've always thought that even in this most reverent of pieces, there are still some moments where Handel can be his humorous self, particularly amongst the musicians.
Yes.
And I've always loved his yoke is easy and his burden is light, which is the hardest chorus to sing.
By far, by a stretch. Yes. And the scattering of the sheep in part two. And in part three, I think, or if not the end of part two, to my chagrin, the great was the company of the preachers, which is mostly one chord.
Right.
So you
get this picture of all these preachers prattling on and on and
yes,
on.
Yes, exactly.
But when God speaks, it's this long, beautiful tone.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Handel at his best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I guess that's part of what makes Messiah interesting year after year is because it's not always the same. You can kind of pick and choose what parts you're going to do, mm-hmm. which choruses, which solos. And the solos themselves come in a variety. Mm-hmm. There is some variation in the solos,
oh, yeah,
too.
Right. For unto us a child is born. I just I was looking at it today, and oh wow, what a joyful, celebratory chorus. And of course, hallelujah. You know, there are many ways of doing it. I'm so used to kind of fluffing it up a little bit. You know, I don't know. After he was despised, and also surely, I would like to go for sort of a, you know, war cry version of it. You know, sort of sense of relief and joy and celebration.
A triumph.
Yeah. So we'll hear a slightly different, a little bit visceral version of Hallelujah this year.
Wonderful. Excellent. What? In terms of the solos, what have y'all chosen to do this year? Like, and in some cases, which soloist will sing what music? Like, what I'm thinking of the piece, But Who Shall Abide? Will you use bass or mezzo-soprano?
Basso.
Okay.
Yes. And Jerry has kindly agreed to do that. And there's so many interesting stories behind this masterpiece. I was looking at the He Was Despised. It's the longest number.
Yes.
And there's a very interesting story behind it. Yeah, I mean, I think contralto at the time was going through some scandalous situation where she was never hired by opera companies in Europe, and Handel said, Here's this piece. Would you like to? And she repeats the text over. It was like a public forgiveness in a way.
And one of the very few true da capo arias.
Right.
Quite long.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's A and a B section. Then go back and repeat the A section again. Yeah. Exactly. Wonderful. Well, the other thing that's happening here that many people like to see is collaboration between art organizations. So we have the symphony playing, and we also have the full resources of the Lubbock Chorale. How does it work to bring two organizations together? What do you do to make that happen?
Well, speaking on behalf of the chorale, we are exceedingly grateful, profoundly grateful for the opportunity to collaborate, and for the particular honor of collaborating with Lubbock Symphony, and to have the experience of making music and creating art in time under the guidance and leadership of Maestro Cho is a privilege, and it's enriching. And we already know it's enriching to the community, and it's manyfold more so to those who are fortunate enough to share in that direct music making. As an organization, the Lubbock Symphony is a vital part of the cultural artistic landscape of our community, and we are glad to be a part of that landscape too. And collaborating is co-laboring, working together, and it's such a joy to do so, and the rewards are great. From our end, to see the musicians of the orchestra at work with the conductor, it's so informative to our members, younger and older alike. And then, of course, the chorale is such an intergenerational thing. We have teenagers, and we have octogenarians and everything in between. So for that particular intersection with the art, it's such a blessing and a gift, I think, to all involved. We're thankful for it.
Great. And it gives the symphony the chance to do major choral works.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I echo what John said, and it's such a privilege to share ideas on such a masterpiece like Messiah by Handel. Personally, looking at the history of the piece, I could sort of empathize with Handel in a way, because he was a German composer at the time, writing Italian operas for English audience. And I'm a South Korean trying to interpret Central European repertoire for American audience, so I could sort of understand the cross, the dilemma, or I don't know how I should put it. But yeah, what a history behind it too. I mean, we shared earlier that he wrote this in 18 days or so, and this was after he got really ill. He had a stroke, I think, upon his one of his opera companies collapsing, and it was a gift. I mean, it survived 250 plus years, and
yes,
and to be able to do it over and over again with different ideas and trying to bring to life is such an honor.
So Messiah is coming up this Saturday evening at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center Theater, the Lubbock Chorale, joined by the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra and soloists. Maestro Joe, tell us how people can get tickets.
You can definitely go online at lubbocksymphony.org or call us at 762-1688 or swing by at our office, 601 Avenue K.
This is a one-night,
exactly,
one-night performance.
Saturday night only, 7:30.
Oh, great. Maestro David Cho, Dr. John Hollins, thank you both very, very much for joining us on the Front Row today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Today's edition of our program will be on our website, kttz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm Clint Barrick. Thanks for tuning in and listening.